We often live our lives dependent upon emotions that change. They change due to circumstances. Hey, they even change due to how we feel on a certain day. I challenge us today to focus instead on those things that are unchanging.
We turn to the Word today, and we're going to be reading from a couple of passages. First of all, Philippians chapter 4. The themes that we are celebrating through this celebration of Advent are themes that really are eternal. They're themes that are emphasized over and over and over in Scripture. We're going to talk about that more. But I want to read, first of all, from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, where it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then in 1 John chapter 4, I believe you have it in there, 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, I'm reading a different scripture than I think they have it there, but beginning in verse 7, let me read it to you. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way." Do you hear that? God's word was revealed among us in this way. "God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected through us," or in us. Through this season of Advent, we're emphasizing the themes hope, peace, joy, love. You remember last week, Pastor Patrick, he kind of gave us a definition that Advent is a season of expectancy. It's a season of coming. It's about the coming of God to this earth in Jesus Christ. And as we focus and we focus our hearts and our minds on hope and peace and joy and love, I want us to understand that these are things and these are themes that urge us outward and upward. Many times we find ourselves focused and we find ourselves struggling because we... I'm going to use this because I don't want to stand behind the pulpit the whole time. We find ourselves struggling because we can find ourselves wrapped up in the inner man, and we can find ourselves wrapped up in the things that may distract us or may cause us a grief. But as we focus on these themes of hope, peace, joy, and love over these 4 weeks of Advent, they urge us to focus outward to others and upward, obviously, to God. They're seasonal themes. They're themes that point us to the true reason we celebrate, the true reason that we celebrate Thanksgiving and into Christmas, the coming and the birth of Jesus Christ and all that has meant and all that has done, even according to 1 John, and demonstrating the love of God. They're scriptural themes. You cannot read a couple of pages of Scripture and not touch into and not touch on and see interwoven throughout the story of God's relationship with humanity that there is not there hope and peace and joy and love. They're gifts of God to His children. You know, the glorious truth is that in the other Scripture in 1 John that we may read later, the truth is that we are called His children. We are children of God. Not because of who we are or what we've done, but because that Jesus came and bought and paid for all of that relationship at the Christ. That it's Jesus' sacrifice, that great price, that create a wellspring in the lives of those who fall upon Him in faith and wholly trust Him and nothing else. There are themes great men of faith have emphasized. Some of you may recognize the name Martin Luther. This week I read a quote from him, and he said, "When the devil tells me I'm a sinner, he comforts me immeasurably." Why don't you think about that for a minute? When the devil tells me I'm a sinner, he comforts me immeasurably. Why? Since Christ died for sinners.
Then John Wesley, speaking to the anxiety and fear that often comes upon us at times, he said this. He said, "I have never known more than 15 minutes of anxiety or fear. Whenever I feel fearful emotions overtaking me, I just close my eyes and thank God that He is still on the throne, reigning over everything, and I take comfort in His control over the affairs of my life." I take comfort over His control over the affairs of my life. And in this quote particularly, as I was reading that and writing that, it came to my mind, it was laid on my heart, that Wesley gives us a key insight into that I want us to hold on to. I want us to focus in on that today as we talk about the gifts that God has given, as we focus on the reason we can have peace and the reason that we have hope and the reason that we should focus ourselves into joy and push ourselves into the love of God. He says this, "Whenever I feel fearful emotions overtaking me," whenever I feel fearful emotions overtaking me. When we speak of hope, peace, joy, and love, we're not speaking of emotions. Do I need to repeat that? When we talk about these emphases, these themes that we're celebrating, this expectation that we have, this preparation that we're going through for that great time when we celebrate and we light that Christ candle and we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, this hope and this peace and this joy and this love have nothing whatsoever to do. They do not find their source. They do not find their root in the emotional being that I am. Now, obviously, they influence our emotion. When we have hope, we feel pretty good, right? And when we experience the peace of God, there's a confidence that comes with that. And when we can tap into the joy that God gives, you know, all of those things, they influence us and they bring about an emotional response, but they are not rooted in our emotions because emotions are variable. I wasn't a real big math whiz, but I kind of enjoy science and mathematics. And when I think about something being a variable, some of you who might be math fanatics, I don't know how many of you are, but a variable is something that's changing. It's something that when it changes, you know, the variable 1 plus 1 equals 2. You change the variable 1 plus 2 equals what? 3. When you change the variables in an equation, you influence the outcome. Whenever I feel emotions, I'm talking about things that are not consistent because they're liable to change. Now let's do a little test. Think about all the things that affect you emotionally. Men, I want you to think about the things recently maybe that have affected you emotionally. Georgia losing to LSU. I know that affected some of you. I saw it on Facebook. Georgia losing to LSU. And then there are some of you who are still grieving and talking about that. And then the fact that Mr. Burrow, the LSU quarterback, won the Heisman Trophy yesterday. It's like salt on the wound, right? It affects us emotionally. There are things external that are changing that affect us. The fact, well, I could throw another one in there and then I'll quit. The fact that Justin Fields was a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. Never mind. I'm going to move on. I have a little girl in my house, and I'm not going to name her name. She may be listening. whose emotions are almost unmanageable. I mean, it's amazing the things that will set her off. And she pitches a fit about some of the most minor things. Again, she's young and she's immature and she's got a lot of other influences in her life that have created within her an unmanageable emotion, and she's learning and she's growing. And the list of things that set her off is long. And for most of us, that list is long. I mean, let's be honest. When we consider our emotions and we consider the things that influence us or maybe the things that even set us off emotionally, there's a list that is long that does that. Our emotions dominate us. They cast doubt upon our faith. They become the focus of our lives. And we even have bought into the idea and the philosophy that fulfillment in our lives will only come when we are happy, when we are pleased, when we are comfortable, or when we're prosperous. All of these things that influence our emotions or elicit emotional response or are an emotional response to circumstances that change, cause pleasure to overrule all sense of being or purpose. Some of you have lost you. You're thinking, my word, come on. You're having an emotional response. That is not where hope, peace, joy, or love dwell. I am so happy to understand that news. That the variability of emotions is not where my hope and my peace and my joy or my love dwell. They're not citizens of a kingdom of variability. They're not citizens of a kingdom of change. They're not dependent upon the circumstances that come and go in my life. My hope is built, some of you will recognize, on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, I love that hymn. Peace, peace, glorious peace coming down from the Father above. Another old hymn that we haven't sung in a long time. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many of you remember that one? I want to quote the entire lyric of that hymn. It says, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. And then the verses follow. It says, I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing. I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near. I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then that last verse, I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well springing up within my soul. And love. Oh, love, such wondrous love, that God would love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this. Hope, peace, joy, love. You will notice that these are expressions of that hope and that peace and that joy and that love. And they find their foundation not in an emotion. They find their foundation not in an emotion that changes with every circumstance. I think about my own life and my own emotional journey, as it were. And I've shared before, and I share transparently. You know, I'm not a person who hides. I don't necessarily always wear my heart on my sleeve, but I've shared before, I think even from this pulpit, that after my knee surgery and there were some really, really tough emotional times. And the fact that I had to begin taking medication because of the depression and the anxiety that had settled within my mind. And notice I didn't say settled within my soul, because it didn't settle there. It settled here. And the fact is this, that all of us will face challenges and all of us will face griefs. All of us will face the testing of this life that may drive us very physically, and understand this, very physically and emotionally to the deepest and darkest places we will ever experience. At times, we will have someone to reach down and pull us out. We'll need to be transparent and say, hey, I need help. I need counsel. I need relief. I need someone to listen and to process through some of those things and help us. And I believe that's not only the role of a pastor or maybe a counselor, but also a brother and sister in Christ to help infuse the hope and the peace that God can give into our lives. And there are times, again, when things are so out of balance for so long, and we have come to understand in a real way scientifically how the chemicals in our brain works, and we have to have a little medical help. I mean, that's just the reality of our lives. But the wonder is that even in times like that, our hope and our joy and our peace and the love of God that dwells within us will not be defeated. Because just because I was what do they call it? I'm trying to remember how the doctor said, just because I was diagnosed and I was treated for quote-unquote major depression, there was a joy in my heart, not because I was hurting. There was a joy in my heart that was not defeated. I was unhappy. Man, I was unhappy. And it's an unhappy place to be laid up and in pain in bed, isn't it? But the joy that dwelled within me, that in spite of that unhappiness, in spite of that pain, and in spite of that being bedridden or facing, it seemed like just another day and an endless day of recovery, the joy of my salvation, oh, what a wellspring, that the love of God abide there. In mathematics, a constant, I just want to make the move, because that our expressions, this hope, this peace, this joy, and this love that we're celebrating, they are founded upon a constant that is not changing over time or due to our circumstances. A constant, again, the math geek in me, a constant is defined this way, a quantity or parameter that does not change its value, whatever the value of the variables. So it doesn't matter what the variables are, a constant does not change. In physics, let's push it a little further. It's a number expressing a relationship or a property, listen, which remains the same in all circumstances. In other words, it doesn't matter what's going on in space and time. Anywhere in this universe, there are constants that never change. They're represented by numbers in physics. They're represented by quantities in mathematics. But our constant, God, does not change. Did you hear me? Our constant God does not change. It doesn't matter the variables in our life. It doesn't matter the circumstances that come. He remains the same. The hope He gives, the peace, yes, that peace that the scripture that we read this morning talks about that surpasses all understanding remains the same. The joy that comes from His wellspring remains the same. The love that's described by the writers of scripture as eternal and unchanging and unfathomable, unmerited. His very character, we read, for God is love. His very character, His essence, that is not changing. So we wait. We wait with an expectation and a hope in His coming. We find peace in His promised presence. We experience joy because He embodies joy and pours that joy into us with an immeasurable, unspeakable, glorious flow. And the love that is beyond compare or description, that abides within us through our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the Spirit's abiding presence. Folks, hope and peace and joy and love, these four themes that we celebrate in the expectation of His coming, they find their foundation in that one thing that is constant in our life, and that is not death and taxes, it is God. It is the truth of God and in the truth of His Word. A friend of mine lost his wife this week. I shared with the worship team this morning. I wasn't sure whether I was going to share this, but I decided to. She had brain cancer. Over the past couple of years, he has been very transparent, and he's shared his journey with his friends on Facebook. Facebook doesn't have to be a terrible place. It can be a really good and refreshing place when you need it. And he needed it. And in the weeks that leading up to Peggy's death, that was his wife's name, Steve, shared honestly about the pain. He shared honestly about the tears. He shared honestly about the grief that dogged him and sapped his very strength. His world at this point has changed. Very much so. He wonders what is next for him. And the question that often comes to mind is, how can Steve have hope? How can he have peace and joy in the shadows of such loss and pain and grief? Can I share with you how? From December 7th, and I'm quoting, 38 months ago today, Peggy was given the diagnosis that she had a brain tumor. She's undergone 2 brain surgeries, 30 radiation treatments, more than 75 weeks of chemotherapy, and gamma knife radiation. It has been a very difficult journey, yet her faith in Christ has held her steady. When people would tell her they were praying for her, she would always respond, "Thank you, I have felt those prayers." She has shared the hope of Christ with more people in the last 3 years than in the previous 50 plus years of her life. Now that her life on earth is coming to an end, her faith continues to hold her steady and give us the assurance that we will see her again in God's heaven. How can a man have hope in the face of a dying wife? He just shared with you how. December 4th, I'm working my way back, and this will be the last one. As I sit here this evening with my wife in what appears to be the final hours of her life here on earth, I have a mix of emotions. I'm heartbroken that my precious wife will soon be gone. She's only 57. We thought we had many more years together. My heartbreak is mingled, though, with unspeakable joy. Hear it. As I realize that she will soon see Christ face to face. In a matter of hours, she will experience the ultimate healing. No more pain, no more cancer, no longer battling a body that refuses to function properly. The unwavering, listen, peace she has had throughout this 38-month cancer battle has inspired all who have encountered her along this journey. One of her greatest concerns about dying was that she did not want me to be alone. As usual, she was thinking of others. She wanted to continue to be by my side in ministry and loving people and in sharing the life-changing message of Jesus. He's a pastor, by the way. I don't know that I shared that. She loved South Carolina so much, loved our congregation so deeply, and loved the idea of finishing out our ministerial career here. I am not sure how I will function without her, but I trust God to give me the minute-by-minute strength to go on. Listen to this. I am emotionally, physically, and mentally drained. Spiritually, though, I am leaning totally on the Lord. As I read the Bible, God continues to bring encouragement and hope and the assurance that He will be with me in the days ahead. Without question, this is the most difficult experience that I have ever dealt with. Through it all, God has been with me. I understand more clearly now than ever what the psalmist meant when he said, "The Lord is our refuge, a very present help in time of need." I praise God for His faithfulness in the midst of my pain. How can a man have hope in the midst of that circumstance? How can a man have peace and even share the peace that was obviously abiding in the life and the heart and the mind of his dear wife? How can a man share that unspeakable joy? Folks, that's not situational or circumstantial, is it? That peace that Steve is describing doesn't depend on the size of his bank account. That joy does not depend on who won last week's football game. That joy does not depend on who's going to win the bowl game next week. That hope that he has does not depend on whether his wife survives cancer or not. Because guess what? His hope is not in anything that can destroy this body. His hope is in the one who will restore that body. You know, because our expectation, we celebrate the Advent season, sure. We celebrate looking back because Jesus has come and He has suffered and died. We celebrate the Advent season because we are post, did you hear that? We are post-resurrection people. We sung a song today sang more than one song today that declared sin and death defeated. We sing that because we believe it. And because we believe that, and we believe that eternal truth that God came and stamped on the very ground on which we walk through His Son Jesus and His blood being poured out, the fact that He was buried after He suffered and died and then defeated the grave. He defeated hell. He defeated sin. He defeated death and rose victorious. We have hope that the promise given that if I go, if I leave, I will go and prepare a place for you because I'm ready to come again. and receive you to myself. There is a hope, and there is a peace, and there is a joy, and there is love that is poured out within us that does not depend on the pains of the day or even the grief. Steve Cecil did something that I don't believe I could do. He preached his wife's funeral yesterday. I just have to tell you that emotionally, I don't think I could do that. In spite of the fact that the hope and the peace and the joy and those things abide in me, emotionally that would be a huge, huge burden and challenge for me. But his report on Facebook was this: God's glory showed up and he showed out. Wow. We have an expectation and a hope because the promise is, I am coming. And when I come, all things that are wrong will be made right. All things that are dead will be made alive and restored. Oh, my word. The hope in that constant who is God. The peace that we have in that constant, in that constancy of God and his faithfulness. What a wonder. What a wonder it is. So today in response, we're going to join together once again and we're going to sing what is an invitation, honestly. It's an invitation to worship. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. There may be someone here who you have sat here and the Lord has touched a painful place in your heart and your mind today. And you need to come and pray. You need to come and lay out maybe those circumstances before God and say, God, I need you to speak some peace into this awful chaos of my life. Or I need to experience a restoration that brings that joy and fans into flame the hope that once was there. God's here. He's ready. He's ready to receive. He's ready to hear from you. And he's ready to move in your life. Will you stand with me?
As we face the griefs and the pains of our life, as we face the variability of our emotions depending on the circumstances of our day, it's important that we find ourselves anchored in truth, find ourselves anchored in constance, anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father God, who has named us his children. We hope you have a great week. Thanks for joining us.